This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Thank you very much.
This is our world now. The world of the electron and the switch. The beauty of the bond. We exist without nationality, skin color, or religious bias. You wage wars, murder, cheat, lie to us and try to make us believe it's for our own good, yet we're the criminals. Yes, I am a criminal. My crime is that of curiosity. I am a hacker, and this is my manifesto. Huh? Right? Manifesto? You may stop me, but you can't stop us all.
That's cool.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. Where hacking is not for breakfast anymore.
He likes it! Hey, Mikey!
I am your host, the Stimulator, and if you enjoy a good, healthy bowl of cereal, I suggest you start growing your own. The man your mama calls Obama recently nominated Islam Siddiqui to the post of Chief Agricultural Negotiator. Siddiqui is currently a vice president at CropLife America, a lobby and junta that represents those Franken-food at Monsanto. If this creepy looking cousin f**ker gets the gig, that will mean that the entire food overseeing apparatus of the United States of America will be handled by Monsanto lackeys. You might remember that the FDA recently announced that Michael Taylor, a former Monsanto executive, had joined the agency as a senior advisor to the commissioner. Whatever the f*** that means. And just weeks after clinching the election, our new commander in appointed Monsanto puppet Tom Vilsack to head the agriculture department. But Obama could give a flying f**k if your food is being made into fuel to run military tanks, or if your cornflakes are spiked with jellyfish DNA.
He likes it!
After all, he's got Michelle tending a sweet, sweet organic garden on the White House lawn. Paid for by you. But those yummy veggies won't do well if runaway climate change is not kept in check. Obama has been working hard to hammer out a deal that will curb carbon emissions to save us all from imminent ecological collapse. On the run-up to climate negotiations in Copenhagen, world leaders met in Singapore, where it was revealed that there will be no motherfucking climate deal. I'd like to see how Alex Jones and his cadre of Exxon-funded climate change deniers tackle that one.
Submit to us and our divine will, we're geniuses!
But more on climate change deniers after the break. Yep, our so-called rulers have pretty much sealed the deal for humanity and the rest of the ecosphere. I hope you'll like living in Venus. But wait, there's one last hope.
Hackers of the world unite.
We know that cyber intruders have probed our electrical grid, and that in other countries, cyber attacks have plunged entire cities into darkness.
The show Minutes recently reported that hackers have broken into the highly secured computer networks of the U.S. government.
Some unknown foreign power, and honestly we don't know who it is, broke into the Department of Defense, to the Department of State, the Department of Commerce, probably the Department of Energy, probably NASA.
Hackers could single-handedly stop this insane machine we call civilization. If you don't believe me, listen to this.
What happens when the attacker is not attempting to steal money, but to destroy the process that accounts for money? That's the real issue we have to worry about.
To destroy the records.
It's all record keeping. It's accountability of the wealth and the movement of that money through the system that has to be reconciled at the speed of light. So if you impact or contaminate the data or destroy the data where you couldn't have reconciliation, you could have cascading impact in the banking system.
Can you describe the consequences?
If everybody goes down to take the money out, it's not there. So that's the issue. Since banking is based on confidence, what happens when you destroy confidence?
As my buddy Vlad once told me, the one thing that keeps our stupid reality going is faith in the system. If people lose that confidence, the whole thing goes to shit. I know that most people out there will be shocked at the suggestion that our economic system needs to be destroyed. But the reality is that you can't eat money, you can't drink money, and when you look at the core of our motherfucking global clusterfuck, money's at the center of it. I'm not trying to oversimplify any analysis of the ills of the world, but if I had the choice of which domino I would knock out first, money would be it. But if hackers fail to deliver, peak oil is right behind them. An anonymous whistleblower at the International Energy Agency stated
that the world is much closer to running out of oil than official estimates admit.
Once again, the puppet masters don't want the slaves to revolt, and news of impending oil shortages could wreak havoc on our already weak system. But there are some folks who are impatient and want to get things moving. In Greece, thousands took to the streets to commemorate the 1973 Athens Polytechnic uprising, a student street battle that set the stage for the overthrow of the ruling military regime. To honor the lives of their brave comrades, anarchists clashed with police in what some are calling a precursor to the anniversary of last year's Greek rebellion.
Remember, remember, the 6th of December.
Without fail, every time I mention man-made climate change on my show, I'll get one or two comments from viewers that go something like this.
Global warming is a tool of the global elite to pass a carbon tax to enslave humanity, and when the lizards come...
Blah, blah, motherfucking blah. It might seem that I'm making fun of you, but I'm not. Well, maybe a little. But no one is born knowing everything. And I want y'all to know that I wish nothing but the best for my motherfucking viewers. So this is why I will take the next few minutes to debunk one of the claims that many of my viewers have made about climate change over the years. The notion that a global elite invented the problem of man-made climate change in order to institute a global carbon tax, therefore creating one world government, was popularized by the fat f***ing radio talk show host Alex Jones. Now, before I mince this argument to shreds, let me set the record straight on Mr. Jones. Alex Jones is an irresponsible piece of s*** and merchant of fear who has gotten rich by telling fairy tales to scared Americans and selling them useless pieces of metal as their salvation to the coming Armageddon. I've been hearing the global warming hoax and tax bit since the era of George W. Bush. Now, according to Jones and his ilk, Bush is part of the global elite through the lineage of his family and affiliations with the Skull and Bones fraternity. And to top it off, W.'s daddy repeatedly used the term
New World Order.
You with me so far? If you were paying attention during the reign of King George, you will know that W went farther than any other so-called elite to deny and silence anyone in his government who would sound the alarm on global warming. Just ask NASA scientist James Hansen.
After my talk at AGU, I was told that I had to have prior approval to speak to the media. And for a few days, I followed that procedure, and they did disallow me to speak to National Public Radio, for example, and they sent a substitute instead of me.
Now, why would Bush try so hard to silence Hansen? Isn't global warming part of their big plan? Maybe Bush was f***ing with us, you know, messing with our minds?
What are you doing, man?
Sometimes that helps.
But that wasn't his style. That dumb motherfucker was pretty straightforward about what he wanted to do. Hook his buddies up in the oil and the military industries. Exxon and the oil lobby are the main funders of the anti-global warming disinformation campaign. And it's pretty obvious why. The crack that they push on us is the main producer of CO2, which has been attributed as the leading cause for carbon emissions. But anti-elite Alex Jones himself uses the same language as the Competitive Enterprise Institute, a think tank funded by Exxon that launched a campaign against global warming.
They claim that CO2, which plants breathe, was killing the Earth.
And as for carbon dioxide,
It isn't smog or smoke. It's what we breathe out and plants breathe in.
Well, fish breathe water, but I wouldn't want millions of gallons of it on my street. Know what I'm saying? By now you are probably thinking, what the f*** does this have to do with Obama? After all, he's the new puppet of the global elite. And indeed, he is. But the reality is that taxing corporations for their carbon emissions is not good for business. And Obama is beholden to the coal lobby, who would lose big money if they had to pay for the CO2 they put into the atmosphere. So far, under Obama, no carbon taxes have been passed, and no deals expected to go through during the Copenhagen talks this December. So it doesn't matter if they're Republicans or Democrats, global warming is not convenient for them. Remember that the US took a big old sh** to Kyoto Protocol, and guess who the US sent to lead those talks? Mr. Global Warming himself, Al Gore. So what I'm saying is this, the world is not that simple, my fellow slaves. Yes, they are elites whose prime directive is more power and control. But trying to explain our dire state of affairs by blaming a few white men who meet in dark rooms is retarded. Thousands of scientists and experts have concluded that human-produced carbon emissions are warming the climate and humans are destroying the planet by overfishing, polluting our rivers, lakes, and oceans, cutting down the forests, mining for gold, and the list goes on. Yes, they are elites and they must be stopped, but we need to stop kidding ourselves and think that they are these almighty eyes in the sky that see and know everything. The elites I'm talking about look more like multinational corporations who control banks and the military, who destroy ecosystems in the name of profit, and who love more than anything to see us fight amongst ourselves. These corporations are made of human beings just like you and me, and they can be defeated. But the first step in destroying them is for us to stop being afraid. As I said before, our leaders have already failed to take action to save what's left of our planet, and we continue to obey them like good little servants. Now, are we going to go on like this, or are we going to ignite the global slave revolt? About 3 years ago, I started doing this f***ing show from my closet in Vancouver, BC. This is no f***ing lie. For those of you who are new to the mad world of the Stimulator, I want to give you a glimpse into how the show looked like in 2006. Over a year ago, I switched my car for a bicycle. Yeah, you got it. I am not spewing out any more greenhouse gases every time I go to work. Plus, I get exercise and I feel sexier all around. Also, my stress level dropped. No more road rage, expensive gas, insurance bills, repair bills, parking tickets, and I never have to deal with the cops.
The bicyclist who weaves all over the road in front of motorists is asking for trouble.
Speaking of bikes, Vancouver's critical mass for November was pretty cool. Here's a rider sharing some of her enthusiasm.
It's all about sticking together like a big bus, and if you're at the front, then you get to decide where to go, and people will go along with us or you. And one thing I think about is at the front, if you come to a red light before you get there, to stop, because that's a really good way to bunch up, because the main thing is we all stick together.
So if you attend critical mass in your town and are handy with a video camera while on a bike, send us your clips. Email us at bike@submedia.tv.
Girl, I want to take you to a gay bar. I want to take you to a gay bar. I want to take you to a gay bar.
This week our guest is Scott Biving of the Lost Film Fest. The Lost Film Fest is legendary in the world of underground film. Scott travels around the world 200 days out of the year showing cool s*** like the clip we just saw. To find out how this whole thing got started, we are going to connect with Scott live via the internets. Scott, how are you? Are you there?
Hey, could you guys not talk? Sorry. Okay.
So when did you decide to start touring with underground films?
In about 2000, 2001, there was a film called Breaking the Spell that started to go around the activist circuit. It was about the WTO protests in Seattle in 1999. And I thought it would be a complete shame if this footage didn't get out into the world, because usually footage like this is excluded from being covered in the mainstream media.
And who was making these films?
People who never made films before were taking video cameras and nonlinear editing systems like a computer, you know, Adobe Premiere or Final Cut Pro, and putting together these fantastic pieces of work that were just inspired, like, you know, like a punk rock song. You know, it was just like a moment of inspiration that brought about these films.
Any funny stories from the road?
So I showed up in this one town in Germany, and people in Germany are very serious. They, you know, take things very, very, people in Germany are very, very serious. So I showed up in town in my little car. It's called La Poubelle. It sits in a garage in Switzerland right now. And it drives very, very slow, so I was late for a lot of my shows. I showed up about 15 minutes after the screening was going to start, and I hopped into the room, and I said, "Hey, everybody, sorry I'm late. We'll get started in a couple minutes." And one of the people came up and said, "You must start the show right now, please. We've been waiting for 15 minutes." And I said, "Look, you, if it weren't for us during World War II, you guys would be speaking German." And they all looked at me with this blank stare like this. One person said, "But we are speaking German." Yeah, so, I don't know. So it's just completely ridiculous.
Last week, I touted the benefits of switching your car for a bicycle. Well, I got some angry emails from some motorists out there. Don from Gwinnett County, Georgia wrote,
"How the f*** do you expect me to bike 50 miles from my job, you f***ing hippie?"
Job? What the f*** is that? But seriously, when I lived in a car-centric American city, I bought myself an old Benzo and converted it to run on vegetable oil. My fuel came from the waste bins at restaurants and not from war-torn Middle Eastern countries. On top of that, I saved thousands of dollars in gas and reduced my greenhouse gas emissions almost completely. As a matter of fact, Submedia made a very cool video on how to convert your car to run on veg oil. It's called Veg My Ride.
Okay, right on now. Let's go.
Speaking of cars, at the same time that corporate automakers were touting their newest steel coffins in Los Angeles, the Clean Air Auto Show was taking place in Burnaby, British Columbia. This modest grassroots event attracted DIY enthusiasts as well as the mayors of Vancouver's surrounding cities. This electric car has been on the road since 1908, and this gentleman converted a Suzuki Forza to electric. I asked him how much it cost him to drive to work.
"Well, I've commuted all summer back and forth to work for about 12 cents a day."
But the biggest surprise came from one of the panelists at the show. Her name is Anita Burke, who most recently headed Shell Oil's Sustainable Development and Climate Change Department. To be honest, I was skeptical when I heard those credentials. But then she opened her mouth. Check this shit out.
"The climate change issue will not be solved at the global level. It won't be solved to a federal policy level, and it won't be solved at a provincial level. It's going to be solved at the community level." Yeah, come on. "And the sooner we wake up to that fact and stop sitting around and kind of going, 'But the government's going to save us, or they're going to come up with a new technology,' the sooner we're going to take back our power, the sooner we're going to realize that it's through local living economic and local living social and local living spiritual connections that we are going to embrace the right solutions for the times that are upon us."
But wait, it gets better.
"You ask me, what are the challenges? Well, you know what? I don't think it's bad enough yet, honestly. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to take anymore. Because you put up the statistics, you put up the numbers, you tell the truth, you show the pictures, you do the thing, and finally, and everybody's just still standing around going, 'Yeah, God, I feel really bad about that. Dang, isn't that bad? Geez, what are we going to do? Well, that's okay.' And, you know, 2 days later, you're back to doing everything the way you've always done it before. And our lives are going to be incredibly different. That doesn't mean bad. It means incredibly different. And I don't mean just little incremental differences like, oh, I'm going to buy organic cotton, or I'm going to buy some energy efficient light bulbs, or, and I take my bag to the grocery store. I'm telling you, man, there's a flipping tsunami coming. And it's going to be hugely different in our lifetime than anything we've ever known before.
And finally,
I was hanging out with Russell Means a little while ago. He's the head of the American Indian Movement down in the United States. And he came into my room to visit with me. And he turned all the lights on, and he turned the heater on, and he opened the doors. And I was just apoplectic. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? And he said, the faster I burn this stuff up, and the sooner I use it up, and the quicker it gets too expensive for anybody to tolerate, the sooner we're going to have the revolution we need in order to start living more compassionately with each other and in relationship to the planet. And I want that to happen sooner rather than later, because right now we're living a slow death and it's painful.
And I encourage you all to go shopping more.
Yep, you heard him. So go on out and bye, bye, bye. And with oil topping $63 a barrel this week, our punk mother in charge had a brilliant idea. Coal.
To continue to invest in clean coal technologies. We've got an abundance of coal here in America. And we need to be able to tell the American people we're going to be able to use that coal to generate electricity in environmentally friendly ways. My only point to you is we've got a comprehensive plan to achieve the objective that most Americans support, which is less dependency upon oil.
Well, it's not surprising that W chose to throw this little mind f- at his sheeple this week. The OPEC cartel finally acknowledged peak oil. Dr. Shakri Ghanem from Libya's National Oil Company said that peak oil output is not very far away for all of us. It could take place sometime in the next decade or so, which in fact means that there is not much time left for a world economy to be driven largely by oil.
This is the age of motor transportation, with gasoline for everybody.
We are really f***ed, aren't we? But hey, this Christmas, don't worry, be happy, and
go shopping more.
I know a way you can get paid, you can get down, but you can't be afraid. Let's go to the DMV and get an ID. The name says you, but the face is me. Now it's your turn, take my paperwork. Like 1, 2, 3, let's make it work. Then fill out the credit card application, and it's gonna be about 3 weeks of waiting for American Express, Discovery Card, Platinum, Visa, MasterCard. Cause when we was booked and shit, then we was targets. Now we just walk right up and say, charge it. To the game, we rocking brand names. Well known at department store chains. Even got the buzz in the crew for a few things. Popo never know who's the true blame. Store after store, you know we can.
A few years ago, I came across the idea of Buy Nothing Christmas. The premise is that Christmas was never about shopping, and that a holiday associated with the birth of Jesus was hijacked by money-hungry capitalists, much like the early Christians hijacked the popular winter solstice celebration back in the day. On top of that, North Americans add more layers to their local and international landfills during Christmas time than during any other season. Furthermore, motherfuckers be adding tons of pressure to themselves to please their loved ones by getting further into debt and having to work 3 jobs to pay up for the shit, which will end up in the landfill next year, and so forth and so on. So this week's action for change is to buy shit Christmas. That's right, don't buy a f***ing thing. As a matter of fact, Adbusters has made it very easy for you to get out of your shopping duty this year by creating a simple greeting card. Just go to adbusters.org and download yours today. You know, I just can't get enough of that typing sound, so I'll read you an email I got this week. This one comes from Juanita in Orange County, and she wrote,
Stimulator, I love your show. I find it informative and entertaining, but don't assume that we know everything that you're talking about. For instance, what the f*** is critical mass? XOXO, Juanita.
Thanks, Juanita. To answer your question, I caught up with Ifni, a bicycle rider and co-host to the Pedal Revolutionary Show on Vancouver's CITR radio station. Hey, Ifni, how are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
So, what the f*** is critical mass?
Critical mass is a bike ride, and it's an attempt, some might say, to bring some bicycle culture to an inhospitable environment, or to an environment that has been planned to be inhospitable. It didn't used to be.
And when and where does it take place?
Oftentimes the last Friday of the month, in believe, a lot of countries. I've been on Critical Mass in Japan. I know it exists on every continent that I can think of.
And who organizes Critical Mass?
It's a bike ride that doesn't have a predetermined destination. It's a bike ride that doesn't have a leader or a planned route in most places, although there have been exceptions in the past and there will be exceptions in the future. Generally speaking, whoever is at the front of the ride takes it somewhere. And that person can, of course, be overtaken, or those people. Oftentimes, there's kind of a bit of negotiation that goes on up at the front. So it's kind of anarchic. It's kind of consensus-based. It's participatory, so if you're at the ride, you're on it. It's oftentimes quite festive. People sometimes have different themes for Critical Mass, and those themes are just spread often by word of mouth or the internet now, particularly. In many cities, mailing lists have sprung up and websites have sprung up to give people information, but those websites are not run to be any kind of authority or controlling body. They're one of the reasons that Critical Mass has been around for so long, and that's more than 10 years, is because it doesn't have a set agenda, and it doesn't have some, you know, once you have a set agenda, you can then, people feel excluded by that perhaps, but this way, everyone is welcome.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and You Feel Fine. I'd like to thank the following slaves for their support in making this show happen. Jason, Christopher, Amber, Paolo, Fatima, Dorothy, Stephen, Cameron, Christopher, Flynn, Amanda, Stephen, Patrick, Rodney, Jeffrey, Justin, Will, Jose, Caleb, Christopher, Eduardo, Mark, Charlene, Robert, John, William, Matthew, Edwin, Nicholas, Samika, Gail, Alfonso, Gwyn, Vincent, and Charles Protella. I also want to let y'all know that my good friends over at the Dominion have released their yearly special edition. This time, it's all about the Olympics. Just go to dominionpaper.ca to find out how to get your copy. To comment on this show and for links to more climate change denier debunkers, just visit my f***ing website, stimulator.tv. Now chill out.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.
There's not a relationship between hurricanes and what they call global warming.